Hey everyone, it's Melissa here, and I have a very special guest and super awesome friend of mine, and we're co-business owners. We have a business together, and it is the beautiful Nicole Dean. Hey!
Hi! I'm so excited to be here and talk about my movement.
Ooh, I'm so excited. I'm super excited about this because, you know, I think it's so important because a lot of us, you know, when we start our businesses, we start out and we have all these dreams and goals and big ideas of, you know, all the things we're going to do when we have more free time and, you know, we have more money and we're able to really build the life that we want to live. But then what happens is that we kind of fall into this pattern of being in pursuit of profits. And so we tend to get off track and it's like this veil of amnesia goes up and we forget why we're doing it because we're so busy in like the day-to-day of working and just trying to grow the business and, you know, do all these things. And we forget why we started in the first place. I wanted to kind of ask you, I know you've got this awesome movement going on. And I know that, you know, we've talked before about both of us, you know, over the years. I mean, geez, we've been running this one business together, I think for what, like 5 years now or something?
Yes, I think longer now.
Gosh, long, long time. Yeah. So I know that I have and you have too, we've really, over the years, really did a lot of decluttering and refocus, you know, and then we build up some clutter again and declutter. And so, you know, we have a lot of, at least I know I do, where I kind of reach a point where it's like, oh, I feel like I'm just not living on purpose anymore. And I feel kind of bored with things. And so that's why I'm excited for you to share your story. But first, I wanted to actually, your story kind of does tie into this whole thing. Like, did you find that you were maybe kind of getting off track with, like, your why?
Oh, definitely. I was, yeah. This was started out of desperation. The Awesomization Nation is what we call ourselves, and it is a bunch of entrepreneurs, coaches, and speakers, and authors, and virtual assistants, and bloggers that want to reclaim their awesome. They want to awesomize their businesses, their lives, and the world. And I am just honored that I get to be a part of it, let alone lead this movement. But the way it happened actually came about out of desperation. It was desperation to re-awesomization is what I call it. And if you don't mind, I'll share the whole story. It's a good one.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's hear it.
All right. So what happened is in around February of 2014, I was talking with James Deering, who is a musician and has a site, betterpiano.com. And I had known James for a while online, and I knew his story, that he had lost 70 pounds, he became a better husband, he became a better father, and he started his business all in like 18 months. And so I didn't have much time to talk to him. I was actually coming down with a stomach flu, and I didn't know it, but I saw James at NAMS. And I had just a few minutes to talk to him before I had to head upstairs. And so I just asked him quickly. I said, James, you got to tell me how you did it. How on earth did you make such a transformation? Because to me, there's a big difference between a change and a transformation. A change can be reversed. You know, you can change the way you eat. You can change your sleeping patterns. You can change and exercise more. But that can be reversed, whereas a transformation is completely different. And the example I like to use for that is that a butterfly can never go back to being a caterpillar again. It's not like it wakes up one morning and goes, oh, darn it, I slipped, and is a caterpillar again. It becomes a butterfly, and boom, it is transformed. And so I asked him this, and he said, actually, Nick, it was really simple. What I did is I decided that I was tired of being James and I wanted to be awesome James. I wanted to be the awesome version of myself. And so the first thing I did is I thought about what would awesome James do and what would awesome James look like. And then it became pretty simple after that because I saw the things that awesome James would do in his day-to-day life. And I wasn't doing those things. So in every moment of every day, I would say, okay, what would awesome James do? And I would do that. So for instance, he said, when he went to set his alarm at night, instead of setting it for 7:30, you know, hitting the snooze button a few times and racing out the door and leaving his wife and five kids to fend for themselves, it wasn't really quite like that. I'm paraphrasing, but he instead set his alarm for 6:30. And when it went off, James wanted to hit the snooze button, but he said, okay, what would awesome James do? Awesome James would wake up, he'd go on a walk and come back, get ready, and then help his beautiful wife to get the five kids, you know, ready for the day. So he did. And then at lunch, average James might drive through McDonald's. Awesome James packed a lunch and he ate it. And then when he got home from work, regular James would want to flop on the couch and turn on the news, but awesome James would realize that his wife was trying to make dinner and had a long day and was frazzled and that the dishwasher was full of clean dishes and the dirty dishes are piling up on the counter. So average James would look at the couch longingly, but awesome James would kick in and he'd walk in and take the 2 minutes to unload the dishwasher, hug his wife, and help her prepare dinner. It wasn't that hard, but over time, just by doing these tiny little acts of what awesome James would do, he became awesome James. And so fast forward a year from then, about a year, in January of 2015, I was actually suffering a major bout of depression. As you know, Melissa, being my business partner, you knew I was not doing well. And so I had a keynote coming up at NAMMS that I was going to be giving about, the title was, I Freaking Double Dog Dare You to Be Awesome. And I burst into tears and I had a conversation with my husband and I said, honey, I'm going to have to cancel that keynote because I can't get up there in front of all of those people and be transparent and authentic talking about being awesome when I feel like this. And no matter what I try to do to change my thinking, it's not working. And so then I started to think, we decided we would set a date. I would go from desperation to re-awesomization because I had to by a certain date. And if I did not, then I would cancel my keynote. So I thought, well, if I can't fix my thinking, if I can't change my mood by willing myself to, and basically I would just feel worse every time I try to get myself to do something, it would just remind me that it's not working, what's wrong with me. So instead what I decided to do was James' story came back, and I decided that I would do awesome things that awesome Nick would do every day, just a few, nothing too big, because obviously I didn't have a lot of energy and I didn't have a lot of motivation. So I picked simple things that I could do in my own life, in my business, and to make the world a better place. So the Awesomization Nation focuses on those three things, awesomizing your business, your life, and the world. And I found that by doing simple little tiny acts of awesome towards those three areas, by doing awesome, I started to feel awesome. And once I started to feel awesome, I realized that I was really turning back into awesome Nick. So the re-awesomization worked. And I got on stage in front of those hundreds of people and inspired them. And I felt awesome. It was one of the best days of my life. As scary as can be, you know, I had a little stomach upset before I went up there on stage, but it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And so the Awesomization Nation kicked off at that keynote. And so that's the story of how it all came to be.
That is amazing. Thank you for sharing that. So It's part of that whole process, you know, optimizing your business, your life, and the world. Did you really kind of have to take a step back and do some, you know, deep reflection on, you know, what your business had looked like over the past year, or over the past, you know, few months, and as well as your life, you know, kind of looking at how your life was? And did you have to, you know, do the reflection, but when it came to like doing the work, did you kind of take some time to figure out, okay, so this is what I'm doing, this is what's not working, and this is what I really want? Was there some kind of process that you, you know, you did? Because, well, in my program, I'm putting everyone through that kind of reflection and kind of working through the stuff that a lot of us, you know, we're just going day by day. And like you said, you know, we really do want to be awesome. And it's hard to just, you know, wake up and decide. And I love that what you shared with us about, was it James?
Yes.
His story?
Yes.
Yes. How he just, you know, made that decision. But yeah, could you share, like, did you have a time where you kind of had to do that reflection and
exactly.
that work beforehand?
Yes, I actually have a 6-part system that I explained in my keynote, and I pulled it up so I didn't miss any steps. It's on my computer. I'm ready. But yeah, I mean, people say it takes 21 days to start a habit, and I think that that's baloney because I've never heard of anyone. My friend Aileen Bennett, I can't think of her website right now, but she's fabulous. And she said, I've never heard of anyone waking up in the morning and going, okay, gotta smoke. It's day 13. And if I want to start the smoking habit, then I've got to smoke this morning, you know? So I don't believe in the 21-day thing. I think that a habit, a decision is made in a moment. And if you make a commitment to that decision, then your habit is formed. Because if you make a commitment that's absolutely unbreakable, like your marriage vows, then it's not an option to not do it. So
I 100% agree with that, because, you know, without that commitment, and it, you know, and that kind of is the same thing in your business. Are you really committed to doing the work that it takes to change or to transform? I love how you, instead of saying change, transform the way you're doing things, and, you know, basically transforming your entire life so that you actually can have a business that you want. So yeah, that's awesome. Thanks.
Oh, definitely. So the 6 steps in my awesomization transformation from desperation to reawesomization. You like how everything ends in Sean? It's like Cajun man, transformation. So the 6 things are realization, visualization, solidification, internalization, implementation, and duplication. And I'll just run through these real quick because I could talk about them for a full weekend, which I just may someday. So the realization would be understanding that I was not feeling awesome. That's the realization. I said, okay, this is not where I want to be. The visualization was knowing who I wanted to be and who Awesome Nick was. So that's a visualization. Solidification is figuring out how to get back to Awesome Nick. You know, what would it take for me to get back to feeling awesome in either my life, my business, or in the impact I'm making on the world. Step 4 is internalization, and internalization is about the commitment, making the commitment to be awesome again by doing what it takes. The internalization for me was that I decided to do the Whole 30, was one of the things that I committed to, and the Whole 30 is an eating plan where you pretty much give up processed food and dairy and grains and all kinds of stuff, sugar, everything for 30 days. And so I figured that was my solidification. I knew that was one of the things I was going to do. But then the internalization was, this is not optional. I am making the commitment to do this. I'm telling my children and my husband. And so they're going to be watching me, and my children especially are going to be watching me and are going to be learning about the value of a commitment for the next month. If I cheat, they will learn that commitments do not mean anything. So, I mean, I had put that deep within myself that there was no cheating, not even a little bit, because my kids were watching me and I needed to model what a commitment meant to me so they knew that a commitment was not breakable when they're married, when they, you know, when they promise to do something, that it is something that we do. Even when nobody's looking, you still do the right thing. And so then step five was implementation, which was doing the tiny little acts every day. And then step six is duplication, asking myself what next, and then starting over with the realization of something else that I'd want to change. So that's my system that I came up with, and it's been working really well for me.
I love that.
Thank you.
Everything. Yeah, it just, every little piece just ties so nicely together. So when I want to, so you have three parts. So you have awesomize your business, awesomize your life, and awesomize the world. So yeah. What are some examples? So in your business, how can people just do little things that would just kind of get the ball rolling? Because, you know, I know everybody's so busy and they're trying to make the transformations required that will lead them to what they've always been dreaming about, you know, since the day they started their business. Mm-hmm. So what are some just small little things that people can be doing every day that, you know, would help them get to that ideal lifestyle?
Definitely. Well, there are a few different ways to tackle it. And the beautiful part about the duplication part of my system is that you can set a goal for 30 days, achieve that, and then revisit your next goal and tackle it with tiny little acts too. For instance, if your goal is to get your book finished, you've got it halfway done, and halfway is safe because you don't have to get it out there. So a lot of us are able to get projects halfway done because then there's no real risk because nobody's ever going to see it, but then we start sabotaging at that point, and so it doesn't get finished. So for awesomizing your business, a goal you may set is for the next 30 days, I'm going to write 300 words every day towards my book. And that's a simple, doable, actionable item that you can commit to. And then the beauty of it is that when you sit down and you close all of your distractions and you know, okay, I'm committed to these 300 words, odds are the hardest part is opening the document and getting started. Once you get started, those 300 words are going to fly. You're going to get to much further than that. It's like with me, with the gym. My commitment is that I will go to the gym. Not that I will do anything there, but that I will show up. So I'd have to take my daughter to dance class and to chorus 4 days a week. And so I make the commitment to myself that I will put on my gym clothes and I will go walk into the gym. And once I'm in there, then I'm like, well, this is silly. Obviously, I'm going to work out. I'm not going to sit and play on my phone and there for an hour. So I made the commitment of a tiny little step, not I'm going to bench press 300 pounds, which which would be ridiculous because I have little noodle arms. But, you know, my promise to myself is that I'll go. Not what I'll do once I get there, but that I'll go. And that frees up the pressure of going. So that could be one, if you want to have a consistent goal. Otherwise, some people in the challenge are doing just little things all month long just to move their business ahead. And I can give you some examples of that, but it sounds like you had something to add.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I have, because you mentioned, use the example of, you know, writing a book. And I think, you know, writing, I think for a lot of people is just like something that's really challenging because, you know, the whole part of creating products and programs to put out there, that you've got to do some of the work. Even if you want to outsource a lot, you still have to do something. You still have to do some writing or some creation for that. And like you said, you kind of got to say, okay, I just got to do this. And one thing that I like to do is to actually get away from my computer. So I actually have a laptop that I don't connect to the internet. And I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to open this up and just open up Microsoft Word and just see what happens.
Yes.
And, you know, and like you said, you just start, oh, okay, I'll just write for like 5 minutes. I'll look at the clock. Oh, I'll just start, you know, work for 5 minutes. Next thing I know, 2 hours has gone by and I have just filled page after page after page. So it really is about just making yourself start and then, you know, see what happens from there.
Exactly. And with my coaching clients, I really like to get them to do something remarkable, something that gets people to take notice. So another example of the 30 days, if you wanted to set a goal of 30 days, you could say, I'm going to create a video every single day and put it on YouTube. All of a sudden, you've got at least 30 videos on YouTube, which is more than 90% of the people out there. And all of a sudden, people are taking note, especially if you make it public that I'm going to be publishing a video a day for 30 days. But some little things work too. If you don't have a big goal and you just want to have no pressure in the business part, because some people like to have a month-long goal in life or a month-long goal in awesomizing the world, but the business, they just kind of want to dabble. So some things you can do there are reach out to guest blogging opportunities, find the next day you could find some affiliate programs that have passive recurring income like Coach Glue, or you could just go out in your front yard, record a video with no pressure whatsoever. If you've never done a headshot video before, see if you like it. If you like it, publish it. If you don't, what don't you like about it? You could go out and get some testimonials. You could update your about page. I mean, there's tons of little things you could do every day to move your business forward.
Yeah, so instead of, you know, spending all that time trolling around on Facebook, you guys could be getting to work doing, you know, just a couple tiny little things. And, you know, those small little things really do progress your business and grow your business really fast. And when you're doing that stuff and your business is moving forward, you're not going to have to spend so much time sitting in your office. And, you know, what a lot of us do is we sit in front of our computers. And it's like, we feel like we have to be working, like I need to be working. And a lot of times that work that we feel we need to do, we just end up on Facebook or, you know, we're going down the rabbit trail, clicking on link and we're going here and then another link there. And, you know, we're gone for, you know, 2 hours just trolling around everywhere. So, you know, I really love this concept of just one tiny, tiny little thing. And I think a lot of us make the mistake of, you know, we create this huge to-do list. I'm personally not a fan of to-do lists because we tend to fall in the habit of making this huge, massive list. And every time we look at that, we just feel incredibly overwhelmed. So I love that, you know, just one little thing. So we see one thing. Okay, if I do that today, that's all I need to get done.
Yes.
And then I think people are going to be more motivated to actually do just that one little thing as opposed to, you know, looking at this giant list and like, oh my God, you know, they just want to like crawl back into bed and,
exactly.
and not do anything.
And actually with the Awesomization Nation, they do get tracking forms. So what I want them to do is every day during the started calling it a challenge, but it's become a movement. During the 30 days, we'll call that, they can write down in how they've awesomized their business, how they've awesomized their life, and how they've awesomized the world, so that at the end of the 30 days, then they can go back and realize all that they've accomplished. So I'm really excited about that, too.
That is awesome. Yeah. I think being able to look back over your accomplishments like that that's just going to be even more motivating for people to keep going.
Exactly. So, that was the big point of the Awesomization Nation was I wanted to give people the opportunity to build their confidence because it seems like everything out there is about these big goals and about big, you know, these complex things and they're always feeling bad about themselves. And I wanted to have tiny little actionable things where every day they can high five themselves and go, yes, I did it. Another step towards being awesome and not have the pressure. And instead of feeling beat down by all the things that they can't do or the things that they don't know how to do or the things that they don't have time to do, they can just be proud of the things that they are doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got it. You nailed it. Exactly.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it too is, you know, not we tend to look to the future, to tomorrow and what we do today. And, you know, we're so focused on, okay, what's coming up tomorrow? What's going to happen tomorrow? And a lot of times we forget, let's just get through today. Let's make the day today the best day that we possibly can and do what we can today instead of, you know, always worrying about tomorrow. I definitely learned that a few years ago with my son who was special needs, and I had taught myself to let's just live in this moment, this day right now, and just get through this day step by step by step, because I could not think about tomorrow or worry about tomorrow, because otherwise I'd just be a complete wreck. So I've really learned to just, okay, let's just get through today and tomorrow will take care of itself. So for Awesomize Your Life, what are some examples for that? That, you know, because a big part of, you know, what I like to teach and share is that you've got to have a life too, because that's one of the things that a lot of us end up doing. Like I said, you know, we'll be sitting in front of our computer feeling like we have to work, and we forget that, you know, we've had this big why. We had these dreams when we started our business, and we just got so caught up in the pursuit of profits and just the working and the busyness that we forget, oh, when I started my business, I wanted to have more time to take that yoga class or to, you know, learn how to go horseback riding, ride a horse, or, you know, and we forget. So it's like, oh, well, we work and then we go sit our butts in front of the TV and we don't actually go out and do those amazing things that we had always hoped we would have time for. So I'd love to for you to share some examples of just some little things that we can do to awesomize our life and really kind of start living our life like we had always wanted to when we started our business.
Oh, I would love to. And actually, in the Awesomization Nation, that's another one of the worksheets, is a sheet that has I will be, I will do, and I will have, because I believe in the be, do, have model of goal setting. So it's a sheet and you write down what you want to be, what you want to do, and what you want to have. So for be, it may be, I want to be a published author. And so I created the form so it says, I will be, so that you're forward thinking and you're planting that seed rather than I want to be. So a published author, being fluent in multiple languages, I want to be organized, I want to be a world traveler, I want to be more patient. I mean, it could be anything like that. I want to be certified in teaching yoga. You know, what is that going to look like? And do. My do list is my longest list. I will swim with dolphins. I will swim with manatees. I will snorkel around the world. You're noticing a theme with water with me. I will sleep in a castle in Ireland, which I did, which was very fun. So the things that you will do, and then the things that you will have are a smaller list to me, because I'm not so much about the stuff. Not that stuff is bad, but it can be about stuff, or can it be a more emotional things, like I will have security, I will have freedom, or I will have no mortgage, I will have an RV. It could be any of those types of things. And once you figure out what that looks like, then you can start to work towards it. But to just, you know, say, what should I be doing? Some things I should be doing. It's hard to come up with that until you really have laid out what you want to be, what you want to do, and what you want to have. And then look at your business compared to that and see if they're in alignment or not. Because a lot of times those things are not working towards each other, which is where the awesome acts need to start first. Go ahead, Melissa.
Exactly. And, you know, that comes a lot, comes back to, you know, kind of reflecting back over what your life and business looked like over the past year. You know, like I said before, a lot of us will just stick our head in the sand and we'll, you know, we'll just keep trudging along, and we're not really looking at, okay, what's really going on here? What does my business really look like? What does my life really look like? We tend to just ignore it because we don't want to face it and deal with it. So yeah, I think really kind of taking a step back, reflecting, and really thinking about what you want your life to look like, what you want your business to look like, is so important, because, you know, a lot of us, we just don't think about that stuff day to day, right? We're just too busy trying to get through the day. So, you know, I completely wholeheartedly believe in that process of, you know, knowing what you want and where you want to be and what is it, do, be, and have?
Yes.
Okay. So what are, can you give us a few little like examples of action steps that people would take?
Yeah, of course. Again, there are two ways to approach it in a 30-day challenge. You can have a goal at the end and do the same thing every day for 30 days if you don't want to have to think and you just want to commit and do and make it nice and clear. And for those 30 days, that could be like I did with the whole 30. Or it could be waking up in the morning a half an hour earlier and going on a walk, or, you know, something that is going to make you feel better about yourself. Or you can do kind of the more fluid 30 days and maybe bless yourself in some way every day with a treat. Like yesterday, I went to the beach. I was sitting here and I thought, okay, I have tons of work to do. I have all kinds of people that want my attention. But you know what? I have my kids home today, and it's while we're recording this, it's spring break. So I thought, I am going to say, you know what, I'm out of here. Awesome Nick would not waste this day, would not sit in front of the computer. The computer, the work will be here when I get back. So I grabbed my daughter and my husband, and we went out to the beach, and I soaked up some sun and got sand in my toes, and then we went across the street to Peg Leg Pete's and had oysters and boiled shrimp and crab legs, and then came home, and guess what? The work was still here, and I did some of it, and then my daughter wanted to watch Castle, so we did that next, and then I went to bed.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of us, you know, we work because we're working so hard, and then it's like we're afraid to take time off. We're like, oh, you know, we're afraid our business is going to blow up if we leave and we don't check our email and we're not on Facebook. And, you know, we're worried like that something is going to happen while we're away. And what I find that is just go away, just leave it. You'll come back and nothing blew up. Everything's okay.
Exactly.
And yeah, and one thing I love to do too, what really gets you motivated is when you kind of have that plan, like you did, it's like, we're going to the beach. So, you know, you knew up to that point, okay, I'm going to get this and this done, and then I'm free to go. That's like the past, last weekend, I took off for the entire weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then I actually didn't even work Monday, I don't think. So I was off for a few days, but I knew that I was going to do that. So it's like, well, you know, I'll make sure I get this and this done, and I'm out of here. Like, I'm not going to worry about anything. I didn't have access to email or social media or any of that stuff. Like, when I'm gone, I'm not taking that stuff with me. So, you know, go do something. Your business is going to be fine, and it will be there when you get back.
Exactly. And luckily, or not luckily, by design, I should say, my Awesomize My Business thing, one of the things I did yesterday was to make sure that I set up 3 admins on the Awesomization Nation. So I'm not the only administrator in the Facebook group. I've got 3 other ones in there. And so I can leave, and if anything happens, if there's a negative Nelly in there, I've got 3 people in there that I completely trust to handle it 100%.
Exactly. Outsourcing, baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I don't want to be on Facebook 24 hours a day, but heck, I have 500 people in that group, and they're all extremely active, and I need to have eyes on it in case something does happen. So, you know, you do what you have to do. And for me, the Awesomizing My Business Act was to put people in there, give them admin power so they can handle those types of things when they come up, if they come up.
Ooh, love, love, love.
Yes.
Okay, so now the next section is Awesomize the World. And I think that a lot of people really forget this whole part of it because, you know, we're focused on our business and we're focused on our lives and we kind of get those things together and, you know, we've got this great business, we've got this great life, but then things start to feel like you just don't feel motivated. Like there's a lack of purpose and you don't feel like you're really contributing. And again, it's kind of like we forgot that, you know, oh, we wanted to, you know, make sure that we could donate to our favorite charities or volunteer for some kind of organization and really do something to contribute to the world and really help make it an amazing place. So can you tell us a little bit about that section, Awesomizing the World?
Oh, of course. The thing is, again, this is supposed to be a tiny actionable task that takes you, 15 minutes to make the world a better place. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to try to compete with Mother Teresa or Gandhi, but these tiny actionable tasks end up, they're contagious. So every time that we do these things, then other people see it and it does become, it spreads. It spreads like cooties. That's what I keep saying, is that awesome is contagious like cooties. So it can be something as simple as clicking on the hunger site, which, or the breast cancer site, or the animal site. If you go to greatergood.com, they've got 9 different organizations where if you just click a button, they donate to make the world a better place. So, I mean, simple things like that. But the coolest thing, Melissa, is that these little acts, some of them, if we share them on social media, if we lead by example and then share, we've got a platform now. The coaches listening to this, the authors, the speakers, we have a platform and we have people watching us and learning by example. So this part gives me goosebumps because every time you do something small, share it on social media. And it's not bragging if you do it from the heart. You're just saying, I'm blessed I was able to give, that I'm healthy and I'm able to give blood today, and post a picture. Other people see that and they get inspired to act. They may not give blood too, but they will think about it. They'll think, oh, I wonder where the blood mobile is now. Or, oh, needles make me queasy. But you know what I can do is, insert cool thing. So I feel like we have an amazing opportunity, but I'm going to go so far as to say we have an amazing duty and obligation to be spreading awesome through our platforms. And I know you feel the same way, but I actually talk about that a lot in the Guide to Being Awesome, which all the people get as soon as they sign up for the Awesomization Nation, about leading by example and sharing and spreading the awesome with other people.
I actually seen an example of that, and I think Rachel had posted, she had went to the dollar store and bought all these little goodies and made these bags that she could hand out to homeless people. And then I seen someone in your group posting that she had did the exact same thing. So I actually seen that in action for myself. So she had probably seen Rachel do that. She shared a post picture of it, and the next thing you know, she had done the same thing and was sharing a picture of that too. So
exactly.
People really do, like, we may not even think of that. I had never ever even thought of that, like just going to the dollar store and making up Ziploc bags full of just toiletries and little things like that, and just instead of handing out money, you could just be handing out things that these people could really, really use. A lot of us don't think of that stuff, right? And so we're like, oh my God, that's such an awesome idea. I'm going to go and do that too.
Protein bars, things like that. Yeah, stick protein bars in their snack so that they've got those when they need them. Exactly. It's contagious, Melissa. I swear, I cannot even believe the power of this movement, because people are posting what they did for the day and other people go, oh, that's a great idea, I'm going to do that too. And then they're going out on social media and talking about it. So other people that aren't even in the Awesomization Nation are seeing that and they're taking action. It's freaking amazing. One of the examples I used in my keynote and that I have in the guide, the Ultimate Guide to Being Awesome, is Kelly McCauzy. Kelly decided a few years back to participate in St. Baldrick's, which is a fundraiser to cure childhood cancer, to raise funds for a cure for childhood cancer. And the way you do it is you raise funds, and when you meet your goal, you have a date where you shave your head for St. Baldrick's. And so at the time that Kelly did it, she felt like her fundraiser was a failure because she did not meet her goal. She still, you know, raised several hundred dollars. She shaved her head. She shared all about it on social media. And, but she felt like it was not a failure, but that she didn't reach her goal, and she was disappointed in the amount of money that she raised. What she did not realize at that time was that by sharing that on social media and on her blog and to her list, now several people that she knows or that knew her have done the same thing, and they are raising money as well. So she has reached her goal, just not by her own shaving of her head, but by being authentic, transparent, and sharing her process by leading by example. Now she's managed to do that. And who knows how many other people, those people who are doing it, have touched. And it just spreads.
So like your small little tiny action can actually have a ripple effect and make a huge impact on the world. So yeah, I'm just blown away by this entire concept because it's just so simple. It's so easy. Mm-hmm. Just tiny little things can just make a huge difference, you know, for your business, for your life, and for the world too. Like myself, I know that, you know, one tiny thing that I'm doing for the world, I recently shared it with you, is, you know, I think most people, or quite a few people, I think, you know, once or twice a year, they will make, you know, a donation of some kind, generally around, you know, the Christmas season, and that we are, you know, donating to charities and stuff. I think because there's so much promotion going on for the charities, and it's like it comes to our attention. We're like, oh, yeah, you know, we wanted to do that. But I have felt that, you know, I need to do more than that. And so every month I've actually decided to pick a charity to donate to. So last month I donated to, I actually lent out to Kiva Loans. So those will actually come back, but then I will be able to just re-loan that money out again and again. And then I also donated to the Wildlife Federation thing that we have here in Canada. And so I've done that, and then, you know, I'll continue to look for other places where I can donate. But, you know, it's not always just about, you know, the money. I mean, even $5 a month, instead of, you know, grabbing that big expensive fancy coffee that month, take that $5 and just like donate it to a charity. I mean, that, like, that small little amount will, you know, and if everybody did that, that would be like a huge amount. But it's also, you know, just your time too, like just volunteering for something in your community, or, I mean, there's just so many examples of, you know, being able to contribute to the world through your time.
Exactly.
Which, yeah, so it's not always, you know,
and to be
monetary.
And to be completely clear, too, when I talk about awesomizing the world, I'm talking about anything that you do outside of your immediate circle. So, as you know, outside of your immediate family, in your home, outside of your closest friends, anything you do that touches the lives of others outside of that immediate circle, to me, is awesomizing the world. So in the challenge, they get huge lists of ideas of things to do. And one of the simplest ones is if you have an elderly neighbor. I used to do this when I lived out in Oregon. I had an elderly neighbor couple that lived next door. And so every time I would go and get my garbage can, I would pull theirs up to their house first, and then I would come over and pull mine up. It took me, what, 10 seconds? And I was able to do that for them. And then, you know, they got used to me doing that, and they'd notice it and wave out the window or something. But it took me 10 seconds to do that, and it made their lives easier because they weren't able to walk as well as I could. I have healthy, strong legs, so why would I have them do it? Other things that I've done, oh, gosh, there's so many. I mean, if you have a friend that, or I know, write a letter, write a little note to somebody that you haven't talked to in ages, or an old teacher that touched you growing up, and just write a little short note, drop it in the mail to them, letting them know how they've impacted your life. That's awesomizing the world. That is. And that takes 5 minutes, and well, I'd probably have to look for 5 minutes for a stamp, but after that, I mean, it really only takes a few minutes, and you're touching the lives of people, and you know that that spreads, because that person's going to open that, they're going to feel blessed, you're going to make their day.
Absolutely. I see one little example that you share is the hotel soaps.
Yeah.
I'd never thought of that before. You know, they do provide them, and it's probably included in the cost of your room to have those in there, the little soaps and shampoos and stuff. But an example, little action thing that you'd shared as an example is to collect all those, put them in a bag, and like drop them off at a battered women's shelter,
yeah,
or, you know, just donate them somewhere, like instead of just leaving them there, put them to good use.
Exactly.
So that's awesome.
And there are actually two big things with that. One is that when women go to battered women's shelters, usually it's in the middle of the night that you know, alcohol is happening or drugs is happening and violence is happening. It's not often in the middle of the day. So women and their children show up at these shelters in the middle of the night with nothing, sometimes not even their purses. So they need the essentials immediately. They need pajamas. They need soaps. They need deodorants, things like that, so that they can feel somewhat normal. I mean, you don't want to feel unclean while you're trying to be in survival mode and get away from an abusive situation. So like me, I was collecting I travel all the time, so I had tons of those little soaps and shampoos and things because, you know, you see them and you're like, oh, that looks nice. I'll take that home. And so I was like, oh, my gosh, this is ridiculous. Those are collecting dust in the back of my bathroom closet, and I'm not using them, and this is just silly. So I discovered that, and so now I can feel good about getting those out of my house, decluttering my house, and helping out. The same thing with clothes in your closet. If what I do is I always put the clothes that are washed in the front of my closet and I push towards the back of my closet so I can tell the things I haven't worn because they're in the back of my closet. So I may not have worn those for 6 months. So shame on me for letting those sit in my closet, taking up space, collecting dust when these women have nothing. And they need pajamas, they need sweatpants, and they need clothes to be able to go back to work the next day. So why am I letting them make me feel bad by sitting in my closet collecting dust and feel bad that my house is cluttered and that I'm sitting looking at these clothes that I may not fit in again when all I have to do is go back there and grab them, put them in a box, and take them somewhere where people can actually use them. And those women are going to thank God that there's people out there like us, the people in the Awesomization Nation, people like you and me, Melissa, that care enough to do that. So it's been an awakening for me and for a lot of the people in the group, because instead of just floating through life, you know, I feel like we're more awake and more aware of our actions. And it's just not, oh, another day went by, but what can I do today that would be in alignment with the awesome version of me instead of just the version of me that's just going through the motions?
Exactly. That just, you just hit the nail on the head with that, because I think, I know I've felt that way so many times, you know, in my business. Well, in life, I guess, more than business, but it's like you're just working, but it's like, well, what am I working for? What am I working towards? You know, we may have goals at different point. You know, you want to improve the life of your family, so you're working to buy a home, but then when you have the home, it's like, well, what now? You know, it's like, So what can you work towards? How can you change things? Who can you have an impact on? So, yeah, it's really kind of taking that time to figure out, you know, what do you really value in your business? What do you value in your life? And how can you kind of tie all those things together and so that they are in alignment, those three things, which, you know, I think once your business and your life is in alignment, then I really believe that what you can do for the world really comes into play at that point, because, you know, you feel like, okay, so what now? Like, you're just at that, okay, so what now? What can I do? And, you know, we're seeing, I think, more and more entrepreneurs are really having a profound impact on the world in, you know, based on the work that they're able to do through their business. So right. It's really, really amazing to see the impact that entrepreneurs are really having on the world and the changes they're making.
And I would actually like to put a different perspective on what you just said. I agree absolutely that once your life and your business are where you want them to be, then you can make, you know, a huge bazinga type wow impact on the world. But I would challenge people to start today to make tiny little impacts on the world. And also remember, for those of the listeners out there, that our parents, our children are watching us and they are learning by example. My daughter just was awarded the Volunteer of the Year in her school, in her middle school. And I fully believe that's because we've made it part of our day-to-day lives to give to others and to look outside of ourselves. And I am just super proud of her that she's understanding that at such a young age in seventh grade.
That is awesome.
I'm proud.
Yay!
It's a big school. I'm super proud.
Yeah, that's awesome. Go, Mom!
I know.
Okay, so where can people go to actually kind of take a look at more at what you're doing with your whole Awesomization Nation?
Oh, of course. Definitely there is a link with this interview, and it will take you to the full story. So is it under the interview, Melissa, or just
Yep, it'll be posted below.
Okay. So click on that. Check out what we're doing. If the current challenge is open, then join. If it's not, then get on the waiting list for the next one. But in the meantime, just let this message sit with you and take action on it and go be awesome.
Go be awesome. All right. Thank you, everybody. And thank you so much, Nicole, for joining me and kind of talking about all this awesome stuff.
Oh, of course, Melissa. Thank you so much for inviting me on. You know, I'm always here anytime you want to talk.
Thanks. Bye.